There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/gamertag.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
Okay, so now I can officially welcome you. My name is Kate Radeshuk. I'm the art director behind Gwent's The Witcher Card Game. And the first question is, how many of you played Gwent in The Witcher? Awesome, this is gonna be easy. So, anyway, let's recap. Gwent is a collectible card game. It's within The Witcher universe, not only in the game that is The Witcher Wild Hunt, it was also present in the books, in the actual lore. It was a dwarven game. The dwarves played against each other to just pass time. And Gwent is a skill-based game. Bluffing and deception are as important as the armies you bring to the table. Big words, but it's actually true. Once you play against each other, you'll see that it's all about being sneaky, about just trying to be to lie to your opponent what you're going to play next. But okay, we have Gwent in The Wild Hunt. Why are we doing a standalone? After releasing the game, we had so many messages: email, Twitter, Facebook. A lot of people just wanted Gwent as a standalone to play against their friends, to play in their spare time. And we listened, but it's not the only reason. We think that Gwent is something very unique within the genre. First of all, it's best of three. So there's three rounds. You have to win two to win the whole match. Then cards are your only resource. There's no mana, there's no additional stuff. You just have your 10 cards for the whole game, and you have to strategically play them out. So here, how Gwent looked like in The Wild Hunt. It was pretty simple for what it was. It worked, it was okay. For us, you know, a single player experience within a bigger game, it was a-okay. But right now, we put a lot of work into redefining Gwent, and it's much more colorful. We added new elements to the board to help players in multiplayer to see what's going on, to always have a preview of the card you're highlighting, to know what the opponent played before. And this is actually a good slide to recap what Gwent is about. Gwent is a representation of two armies battling. The bad guys, red at the top, and you, blue at the bottom. Each player has three rows: melee, ranged, and siege. You play cards onto the specific rows, and their strengths sum up here. Then we sum up everything down here for us and at the top for the opponent. The player with the most points at the end of the round wins half a crown. When you get the full crown, you win the game, and that's it. But visuals are not the only thing we remain, because now the game is not just single player, it's a multiplayer it's an online competitive multiplayer. We had to redo everything, because as you played The Witcher, you know the decks at the very end are super OP and there's just no stopping them. It wouldn't be fun in the multiplayer. So we rebalanced everything. We built it from ground up, we added new abilities, new cards, new mechanics, but still, Gwent is very easy. Like, I know how to play it. It is super easy. It's like 15 minutes to learn how to play it. But then there's a lot of depth. Luigi here, he's our designer. He plays a lot. And still, after many hours, he finds new strategies, new stuff to play with. But that's what it is. But what's next? As you probably heard on the Microsoft conference, we are releasing a closed beta on Xbox One and PC in September. PS4 is going to follow soon after, as soon as we're done with it. We're launching as a free-to-play game, offering optional in-game purchases. And later on, we're adding new game modes, more factions. You probably will notice that Nilfgaard's missing. It's coming, we're just designing it. And we also have a single-player campaign, or rather single-player campaigns. And those are untold stories from the Witcher universe. They're going to highlight characters both old and new. So Geralt sometimes is going to be the main character, but sometimes he's just somewhere to the side. He's in the story, but you're playing as someone completely different. Our story writers and quest designers are actually people who worked on the Witcher Wild Hunt, so we want to keep the same high quality of writing on all the quests. And we still want to keep the impactful choices and consequences. So when you play, you will have the chance to pick between, you know, good and bad, maybe gray and more gray moral choices. And each campaign is going to be 10 plus hours of content, because we think that this is like the minimum we want the players to have to appreciate the full story we want to tell them. And actually, we want to show you the single player. It's a small slice of the tutorial we're having. Bear in mind, it's somewhat of an alpha. We're still working on it. We're going to add a lot of new stuff. And right now, we're jumping in the middle of the story. So this is how our dialogues look like. For now, they're pretty simple. We want to add more animations, more expressions. We want to make the backgrounds have depth and have animations. And to recap the story, what happened so far? Geralt, the Witcher, was hired by Felibor and Ylang. They're mercenaries, and they're helping Torina, a young baroness, to go through a monster-infested spooky forest. And they stumble upon an abandoned mansion. Torina screamed inside. No one knows what's happening. They ran out inside. They found the girl with a dead body next to her. Let's see what happens.
The girl did not answer. She stood silent and motionless, her empty eyes gazing into dead space.
I can't hear you. She's in shock. Need to get her out of this house fast.
All right, child. You're safe now.
What was that, Witcher? What happened in there?
Saw what you saw, not as much as you do.
What's with Torina?
Let's hope it's just shock and she'll come too soon. Let's go. We can rebuild this forest the better.
And here is the overworld. So in the single player, you can actually explore an open world. Right now, the blue line is leading us to our main objective, but as you can see, you can go here, for instance, to the fence, or here, there's a pile of dead bodies. But we're going to go here, off the beaten track, to the Elven Ruins, because there's something interesting I'd like to show you. And there's going to be some tutorial prompts on the way, but I'm just going to skip them.
At noon the next day, the group stumbled upon a gathering of ruins. Though the walls had largely crumbled, the distinct, lacy style of its architecture was still notable.
These lands, all of them, once belonged to us.
Merlin stated bitterly. Though the structures were near collapse, it seemed as if they could be penetrated and explored.
So here we have a choice. It's a very simple choice in this case. It's either to explore the ruins or not, but you can imagine later on you can have more impactful choices. If someone lives or not, do you save the child or do you save your friend? So here, for the sake of the presentation, we'll explore the ruins.
So they resolved to explore the ruins, which proved to be in sorry shape. In truth, no more than piles of rubble over ruined ruins. Geralt puzzled over a well-preserved inscription on the Elder Speech. The eldest sees all and judges all. Abandon all. Suddenly, there was a loud clattering. Hannibal's men, in attempting to pull a tattered tapestry off a wall, had caused a section of the wall to crumble. A hidden chamber stood revealed, and inside it, they found several undisturbed earthenware vessels.
Oil, serpent. Quick line.
Geralt noted, of course. Falibor carefully placed the vessels in his satchel.
We what had some. It's not a herb of scorch.
Elven balm.
Geralt took a step back. He had seen men hit by scorch before, or accurately, seen what remained of them afterwards.
Very useful should we face a stronger
So, in this case, in the ruins, we found a bomb called Scorch. And the items you find in the world are represented by cards that are added to your deck. And not only that, cards are actually units. So right now we're traveling with Falibor and Elaine. They are cards in your deck. And just like that, we want the player to build armies in the single player. So you can imagine that cards are representations of characters, units. You might find Triss in the overworld, world, and she'll join your party.
Two hours before sundown, the woods began to fill. Falibor squinted and gazed into the distance. A moment later, a smile lit up his face.
Look, there, between the trees, is that? It is! Malior Town Hall, it's fire, we've made it. Doubted we'd ever see clear in those woods.
Falibor turned towards Torino and flung to fear.
Torino!
Geralt burst his lips and his hand flew to his back and drew the silver sword.
That's not
what happens, everyone.
So it turns out Torino was possessed by a demon. And the cards in your deck are a representation of your armies. Same goes for the opponent. So right now, the demon called Zathire is the leader of the deck we're going to face. So, again, a recap how to play went. First of all, you start the game with a mulligan. You get 10 cards and you can swap up to 3 cards. We up the number by 1 compared to the Witcher World cards. So we'll probably exchange one of those guys. And we got basically the same thing, so it's a 6 value ranged card. But this one has an additional ability which increases the strength of every unit's own stroke. And we already have a lot of archers, so I think we're good. The opponent just used a leader ability. You can use the leader ability once per game. And his leader ability allowed the actual demon to be on the board. It's a 15 value creature. Our leader ability is kind of similar. You're playing 2 archers of the value 6. And when you're playing against each other, look out. The abilities are more complicated and you can play around with them more. And right now, the opponent played a fiend. And here, this is a good example of our premium cards. We're planning to have a premium card for every single card in the game. And there are 3D models. You can wiggle the card around to look inside it. We're going for this living picture look. And as much as it's lovely, it has to die. It's the opponent's card, so we're going to use the scorch that we found in the ruins.
What's this? Look at this bloody boat coming along. God damn it, do something! Our archers can't see a thing!
So So, as you can see, cards are not only a representation of the characters that you meet in the single player, they also react to what's happening on the board. Here it's pretty simple. The opponent just played a weather card called Fog, and it dropped the value of our archers down to 1. And by tutorial magics, we just gained the Clear Skies weather that will help us. Our opponent passed. Passing means you cannot play anything else in this round, but your opponent can play as many cards as they want. So even if you're in the lead, remember they can still add more and more cards and just win the round. So be careful with this mechanic. Again, tutorial magic, so we got a horn card. It doubles the value of all the cards on a given row. So we're just going to play this. And as you can see, it happens exactly what I told you. He passed, and I just doubled the value of my cards, so now I'm winning, and without spending any more cards, I can just pass and win the round. So I think that's it. I think most of you know what you're doing. The ones that never played, don't worry, me and Louie are here to help you. And before that, I'll just run you through all the decks we've prepared for you. We have 4 decks for different factions. So, today you can play as Skellige. This deck you're playing is heavily based on resurrection and going back to life with more power. A Northern Realms, a lot of type 1 ability. It means you have to play the same card twice, a copy of the same card, and they double their strength. Skoyatel, super sneaky. They can play the card on different rows. They can play a card on your opponent on the opponent's side and debuff their row. And monsters, they love bad weather. So if you want to play with mechanics of weather and being buffed by weather, just take monsters. And I think that's it. If you have any questions, again, grab me or Lumi. Grab a chair. You'll be facing the person in front of you, so you can always just feel good.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.